From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Today, how angel investors decide which risk to take. First, though, a national conference on racial justice begins today in Dallas. Dwali Saikautau reports this is the first time the Facing Race Symposium is being held in the South.
The three-day conference is sold out, with some 1,500 people expected from around the country.
The power is actually in the collaborative, in the collective, and in the working together. That's how, in my belief, we all move forward.
Lauren Embry of the Embry Family Foundation in Dallas worked with another nonprofit, the Boone Family Foundation, to ensure a Southern perspective would be part of the nation's dialogue on race.
And that's what Dallas Faces Race is trying to provide. It's trying to provide that space, that container, so that we all can get together and we can talk more deeply and with honesty and integrity about these issues.
Dallas Police Chief David Brown says race matters.
I think that if your heart's in the right place and you have an openness and a willingness to be accepting of differing points of view and different cultures and be willing to learn about a different culture, I think you walk away with a much better perspective on not just life, but on what another race has to offer.
So we went out to ask North Texans what they think about racial equality. First up, designer Steve Arn.
The word Mexican, the word black, the word white, the word Asian comes up in descriptions of our friends. And not until that doesn't come up are we coming to a point where we truly consider each other equal.
As soon as you take away your own biases towards your own race, then maybe we can be able to see others for their race and it not be necessarily an issue when we're talking about a job or a friendship or marriage, anything of that sort.
Many people think that because we now have a black president in the White House, we live in a post-racial society. But every day I see reminders that tell me that that's clearly not the case. As a partner in a law firm and a leader in the Dallas Bar community, I'm also very cognizant about the lack of diversity in law firms.
That's longtime resident Weiwei Zhang and, before her, teacher Stephen De La Serta. The Facing Race Conference runs through Saturday. Dwali Saikautau, KERA News.
A group of angel investors is descending on Dallas this week. Lauren Silverman looks into how these early investors get in on the ground floor of a startup.
The angels were originally going to meet in the nation's capital.
But we thought about that a little bit, and we realized, you know what, that would have been a mistake.
That's Leslie Jump, founder of Startup Angels, based in Washington, D.C.
What we wanted to do was to identify one of the great startup communities in the United States, a city that's really focused on growing startups, growing its innovation economy, and Dallas came up to the top really quickly.
Jump worked with the Dallas Entrepreneur Center to pull together more than 100 angel investors and entrepreneurs from across the country for this two-day event.
So those of you who came in from out of town, we're very happy to have you.
Nationwide, angel investors put nearly $600 million into 200 startups in the second quarter. North Texas angels accounted for 12% of those deals. That's big news in a region where money tends to go traditional, to oil and gas, real estate, and healthcare.
Because we have 25 billionaires here, not to mention the half billionaires, there's such an amazing sort of resource of capital here that is not currently going into the startup community.
Trey Bowles is CEO of the Dallas Entrepreneur Center. He says after entrepreneurs have already begged friends and family for funds, they need money to lift their idea from paper to reality. Usually, at that early stage, venture capital firms aren't ready to make a pledge. That's when the angel investor swoops in.
Angel investing, to me, is about two things. It's investing in a person or team and investing in their idea.
Chris Camillo is a self-made millionaire and Dallas-based angel investor. He says before he throws money behind a startup, the entrepreneur needs to show there's a market.
I want to see some sort of traction that you've been able to pre-sell that idea to your consumers through a crowdfund campaign. That's a really quick way to show that your idea has traction.
There are now at least 7 angel investing groups in the DFW area. There are dozens of startups seeking capital. This week, as angels and earthlings collide in Dallas, the search for a deal, or at least a good tip, is on. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
Now to this week's big screen. Dallas native Thaddeus Matula directed a pair of documentaries that aired as part of ESPN's 30 for 30 series. He hopes the films put human faces on sports figures.
I'm Stephen Becker with KERA.
And I'm Chris Bogner, culture critic for the Dallas Morning News.
And today we're talking to Thaddeus Matula. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So let's talk about Pony Excess first. This is your film about how the SMU football team became the first and only school to ever receive the death penalty from the NCAA for repeated violations. Now, I know you're an SMU graduate, but your connection to the school actually goes way further back than that.
Yeah, I was born in Dallas. My dad is a professor at SMU. He's been there for 40 years. And so I was born into this beginning of a dynasty program at SMU, and it became something that was uniquely mine.
So it sounds like there's an emotional stake for you in all of this.
So I was 8 years old when SMU got the death penalty. And so at 8 years old, when this happened, It was something personal to me that was taken away from me, and it was taken away under a cloud of these guys are cheaters.
For your new film, you're tackling Brian Bosworth, so to speak. Brian and the Bos, also a 30 for 30 production. What can you tell us about that one?
I was called by a gentleman in Oklahoma, Parker Douglas, who had connection to Brian and Coach Switzer and the University of Oklahoma. And when we first had our conversation, my first thought is, boy, I don't know if I'd even want to see a movie about Brian Bosworth. I mean, don't we know the whole the Bos story? Because I was one of the guys that the Bos lost. Dallas is a very proud city. And so anyone that we growing up could claim as being from Dallas, you know, that was our guy. And so when this, you know, when this kid shunned the Longhorns, he had grown up in the shadow of Texas Stadium, he goes off and he plays for the brash and colorful Barry Switzer, and he becomes this sort of roguish villain. It was fun. And then it was not fun. When the Bos lost me, when he lost us, the Bos also lost Brian. And I became very intrigued in looking into how we could tell that story.
The most memorable thing about not only your films, but really all of these 30 for 30 films is that they look at these sports figures that we're all familiar with and put these very human faces on them.
The thing that I love the most is that we can connect with passion. We can connect to that passion on a human level. And that's what these films do a great job of, is letting us in and say, you know, these are regular people. These are people who had a tremendous ability and then were thrust in the public eye because of it. But in the end, there's still the human being behind that.
Thaddeus Matula, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's a real pleasure to be on air with you guys.
Thanks, Thaddeus.
That was our big screen team, Stephen Becker and Chris Wagner. Thaddeus Matula will show Brian and the Bos and Pony Excess at the Angelica Film Center in Dallas next week. Find details at artandseek.org. Sunny skies, a high of 38 ahead of us today with an overnight low of 25. Things will warm up just a bit, up to 45 tomorrow. 31 degrees now in Dallas, 30 in Fort Worth. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker.